Right, everybody, welcome to meeting number 37 on Tuesday, 30 April 2019, and we're declaring the meeting open at 5:30 p.m. I welcome councillors, management and members of the public in attendance. Welcome to the City of Melbourne. We respectfully acknowledge the traditional owners of the land, the Boonwurrung and the Woiwurrung Wurundjeri peoples of the Kulin Nation, and pay respect to their elders, past and present. For the Kulin Nation, Melbourne has always been an important meeting place for events of social, educational, sporting and cultural significance. Today, we are proud to say that Melbourne is a significant gathering place for all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. I take this opportunity to notify members of the public that the meeting is being recorded and that an audio version will be made available on the City of Melbourne website before close of business tomorrow. The unconfirmed minutes of this meeting will also be available from the City of Melbourne's website as soon as practicable. Should you have any queries in relation to the conduct of the meeting, the documentation or the submission process, please speak with a member of our council business team after the meeting. For everyone here, I request that we turn our phones to silent or turn them off for the duration of the meeting, please. The agenda comprises two reports from committee, four reports from management, and one item of general business. Now, no apologies have been received this evening, but if somebody could just let us know about Councillor Watts, that would be appreciated. No, she's here. All right. But no apologies have been received. Thank you.
She may be in her office, Lord Mayor.
Thank you. Kate's just having a look. Thanks. But we're going to keep going. And item two on the agenda is disclosure of conflicts of interest. If any councillor has either a direct or an indirect conflict of interest, as defined in the Local Government Act 1989, in relation to a matter to be considered by council, please disclose the type and nature of your interest prior to consideration of the item. Agenda number three is confirmation of minutes of the previous meeting. I call on a councillor, please, to move a resolution adopting the open minutes of council meeting number 36 held on Tuesday, 26 March 2019. I had a mover there from Councillor Oak and a seconder from Councillor Pinder. Thank you very much. I'm putting the motion to the vote. All those in favour of this item, please raise your hands. That's unanimous. So I declare the motion carried. Thank you, councillors. Matters arising from the previous meeting. Councillors, at this point, are there any items that you wish to raise from those minutes or from the previous meeting? None? Thank you very much. There have been no items of correspondence received in accordance with Council's conduct of meeting Local Law 2010. And so we move on to agenda item five. And there are two reports from committee for consideration. This is the first time this has happened since I've been here. And so I can now say I call on the Deputy Lord Mayor, Aaron Wood, as Chair of the Finance and Governance Portfolio of the Future Melbourne Committee, to present agenda items 5.1 and 5.2. Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. The first item is 5.1, proposed discontinuance and sale of various lanes and land in Carlton. The purpose of this report is to recommend the discontinuance and sale pursuant to sections 189, 206, 1 and 223 and clause 3 of Schedule 10 of the Local Government Act 1989 of various lanes and land in Carlton as shown hatched and cross-hatched on the attached plan, and I move the recommendation contained in the Council report displayed on screen.
Thank you, Dalem. I am calling on a councillor to second the motion, please. Councillor Rees, thank you very much. Deputy Lord Mayor, would you like to speak to the motion?
Thanks, Lord Mayor. And firstly, thanks to our officers for working through from the report seems to be a relatively complex process. There were three submissions to this process that follows council's policy, which is important, and most of the issue related to 100 Victoria Street where waste collection and also access and emergency egress were important. And the owner of 100 Victoria Street had objected to the discontinuance because of those issues. I think through the processes, our officers have come to what is a good compromise. Obviously, it makes sense for the discontinuance and the consolidation of that land to RMIT because they have most of the land holdings abutting and around this discontinued land. And so I'm happy to support this process and again thank our officers for working through what I think is a good compromise solution which protects that access for 100 Victoria Street and ensures waste collection and emergency egress are still protected.
Thanks, Dale M. Councillor Rees, would you like to speak to the motion as the seconder?
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I will just briefly as the seconder. Can I just begin by acknowledging the good work of Kim Wood, Greg Stevens and Evan Council, who make up the City of Melbourne's Submissions Committee, who hear matters like this one regarding public land or the creation of or sale of public land. As the Deputy Lord Mayor has said, this is a sensible and logical move that these lands be owned by RMIT, given they are the owners of all the adjoining land, save for the 100 Victoria Street site. Also, as the Deputy Lord Mayor has noted, there are some additional easements that are part of this arrangement, which will address the concerns that have been raised by the owner and occupier of 100 Victoria Street around, which will protect in terms of access and light, and importantly for waste disposal management as well. Finally, I will just note that the next step in this process now is that the value of this land to be sold to RMIT will be determined by the Valuer General under a fair process.
Thank you, Councillor Rees. Councillors, are there any other speakers to this motion? None? Thank you. Would the mover like a right of reply? No? Good. I'm going to put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. That's unanimous. And so we declare that motion carried.
So next item is item 5.2, the proposed public highway declaration of Plane Tree Way in North Melbourne. The purpose of this report is to recommend the public highway declaration of Plane Tree Way, North Melbourne, pursuant to sections 2041, 207A and 223 of the Local Government Act 1989, as shown shaded on the attached plan. And I move the recommendation contained in the council report and up on the screen.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. Calling on a councillor to second the motion. Councillor Rees, thank you. Deputy Lord Mayor to speak.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. So the previous one was where someone wanted to buy land off us and we're giving it away, and this is one where residents want us to take it back. So this is, a great process from officers. There were 19 submissions to the process. Quite a good portion of those were originally objecting to various issues, but in working through that process, you can see the good work of our officers that the majority of those submitters now support this declaration in full, if not the majority of this declaration. Obviously, there's some excellent suggestions from those submitters, things like a walking pace speed limit, making sure we're retaining the speed humps, one-way traffic direction, potentially all of these things to be considered. But I think the important part was that an earlier proposal for us to manage part of Plane Tree Way, for council to manage part of Plane Tree Way, was an issue, and that people were asking us, well, we want you to take and manage the whole of Plane Tree Way, and that's exactly what this declaration does. So again, thanks to officers for their work in addressing other submitters' concerns.
Thank you, DLM. Councillor Rees, would you like to speak to the motion?
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Again, I begin by acknowledging Kim Wood, Greg Stevens and Evan Council on the Submissions Committee, which heard or considered this matter, and for the very sensible declaration that they have arrived at with the advice of officers. As the Lord Mayor flagged, this has been a bit of a journey for the City of Melbourne. This was our second go at getting this declaration done, and very pleased to see that certainly a substantive majority, if not all affected residents, are happy with where we have got to. I think pine trees get a bit of bad press around Melbourne some of the time. I happen to love them as a tree. I think they're a beautiful tree, and they're very hardy as well, so suited to Melbourne's unpredictable and sometimes harsh climate. And certainly anyone who's been down Plane Tree Way would know that it is a very beautiful corner of our borough here in the City of Melbourne. So terrific to see that we've arrived at a declaration which will continue to see this corner of our city be as lovely as it is.
Thank you, Councillor Rees. Councillors, are there any other speakers to this motion? Councillor Riley.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. This is a great outcome for the residents and for the city. It is a win-win, and not often we are able to achieve that when we are trying to manoeuvre our way around keeping trees, making it pleasant for the residents, and I really believe this is an amazing outcome, and congratulations to all involved.
Thank you, Councillor Riley. Councillor Oak.
I support this recommendation. I too acknowledge the change of support also from the residents. There was a lot of correspondence about this item when we're discussing the redevelopment of the Lady Huntingfield Children's Centre, which is well underway. And I, you know, yeah, acknowledge the huge amount of work that will have gone into working with residents to get to where we are tonight, and acknowledge the great examples that are listed in the management report to the submissions committee that I know that the Deputy Lord Mayor has already acknowledged, and this resolution recommends that we, that management investigate those options further around how do we make sure it is really a walking street, but in particular the preserving and acknowledging the character of the plane trees and the history of the plane trees, because it is actually an incredibly important part of Melbourne's history, that location. And connecting all the way up in through to Kensington and the floodplain and everything, but so actually acknowledging the cultural and ecological history of the trees is a really great idea, and with the signage, so I think that's a great idea. But now it leads on to our beautiful Gardeners Reserve, which if you haven't been to see it, it is just beautiful, and I'd like to acknowledge our grounds team, or our, you know, urban sustainability team, because it just looks beautiful and really does showcase the plane tree laneway that we're talking about tonight.
Agree. Any other speakers to this motion, councillors? Would the mover like a right of reply? No, DLM, thank you. I'm going to put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. That is unanimous. So I declare that motion carried. Thank you. Well, this concludes the reports from committee to be considered this evening, and we're moving on to reports from management. There are four reports from management for consideration this evening. And the first one is the record of assemblies of councillors. Councillor Oak? Oh, you're helping me, so sorry. Would anybody like a presentation on this item? That's what I thought you were going to ask for, presentation. Thank you.
I'm happy to move it.
Councillor Oak is moving
I'm happy to move this, but I know I would request that, I don't know whether I formally need to do the in the motion, but I would like to ask that the record of assembly be amended and item 2.1 from the 19th of March be deleted from the agenda, because it wasn't actually presented at that meeting, was presented at the week before, and I had declared a conflict of interest for that item.
Oh, sorry,
but it's not recorded on this agenda because it wasn't actually presented on this date. Anyway, so I move this, but note that it will be deleted from the records.
And it'll be amended accordingly, according to our Chief of Legal Counsel. I'm looking for a seconder, which is Councillor Wood, Deputy Lord Mayor. Thank you. Now, would you like to speak to the motion, Councillor Oak? No, would the seconder like to speak to the motion? Are there any other speakers to this motion? No, thank you. Well, then we're going to put the motion to the vote. All those in favour? Thank you, that's unanimous. So I declare that motion carried. Thank you for the pick-up. Item 6.2 on the agenda is Social Innovation Partnerships Program 2019 to 2021 recommendations. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item?
Lord Mayor, I'd like to ask a couple of questions of Angela.
Go ahead, Councillor Pinder.
Angela? Oh, is she? Angela, 37% represents a high number that were previously long-term grant recipients. How discriminate are we in ensuring we spread the love and foster and encourage new applicants?
Through you, Lord Mayor. Councillor Pinder, I believe that the receipt of 83 applications that were seeking more than $9 million worth of grants for a grant pool that is just over $1.3 million demonstrates the reach of the new program. This was, I believe, a particularly notable achievement because of the timing of the grant and the attendance by representatives of over 100 organisations to a series of information sessions where we provided advice on how to actually prepare a grant application, and we reinforced what it was that we were seeking with the grants being innovative, that they were no longer ongoing funding that would just be automatic. And if I can just say that those long-term grant recipients who've received money in the past have come back to us with proposals that do demonstrate that they are now innovative.
Can I ask one more question, Lord Mayor? Angela, many rooms, there's a recommendation for withdrawal of funds for meals for the homeless. How many meals were they providing each night, and what do you believe could be the backlash for the city?
Through you, Lord Mayor, we know that in their third quarter reporting that they advised us that they were providing 65 meals each Friday night for homeless people. They attended a number of specifically designed sessions for them and other existing long-term grant recipients on how to craft a competitive application and to move on from City of Melbourne continuing to fund existing projects. We believe that they are well aware of, and there will be other services provided to provide meals. And in the unlikely event that this is something, and I don't believe that it's the case, that council wants to continue a long-term grant to them, that's something that we could consider outside of the normal grant process.
Good. Well, thank you for those questions. I'm now calling on a councillor to move the motion, Councillor Pinder, and a councillor to second the motion, Councillor Watts. Thank you. Councillor Pinder to speak to the motion.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Councillor, this new framework for provision of grants for social innovation projects is one that will yield some tremendous results for the city. The Social Innovation Partnership Program is the first grants program under the Community Grants and Partnerships Framework that we endorsed last September. In essence, this program has socially oriented organisations for innovative ideas that we've asked them to tackle the social issues in Melbourne. And this program has struck a chord with the social sector in Melbourne, with more than 100 people participating in City of Melbourne-led workshops on social innovation. So that's fantastic. And as Angela said earlier, we received something like 82 applications requesting $9.4 million. And after a rigorous assessment process, the external panel has recommended 13 projects for funding with an investment of $1.32 million. And as again, as Angela said, innovation is critical for the program, with management seeking to foster, reward and test approaches that bring fresh ideas and fresh perspective and opportunity for greater impact. However, for the future, I'm hoping that we could perhaps have greater consideration being given to applicants with a focus on more inclusive Melbourne, particularly in the seniors and disabled sectors. There were three or four applicants covering these sectors, but I believe the submissions weren't strong enough and not enough innovation was demonstrated. But well done to Angela and David. Huge undertaking, massive, with the rigid criteria and a comprehensive selection process. Done well.
Thanks, Councillor Pender. Councillor Watts.
I too commend the officers. This is a very difficult task, I'm sure. But I want to speak briefly about the program itself, and I think any program that has both innovation and partnership in it is a very good thing. The City of Melbourne is wise to invest in these two aspects of what our community is trying to do. I think that also the point is to be made that the way in which the applications are processed, the way the process itself, the way we in fact offer instruction, if you like, or guidance, advice on how to go about these applications. It's a very important service that our officers provide to the sector as a whole. And as Chair of Knowledge City, I really am pleased that we offer that kind of assistance.
Thank you, Councillor Watts. Councillor Lelou.
Thank you, Lord Mayor, and I also wholeheartedly support this. It's great to see two of the recipients being around international students and providing such great, social innovations to the city. As we all know, international students play a vital part to our economy and the community. I also love the fact that impact in innovation is so highly rated in the framework in terms of the assessment. But I think for me also, one of the things is we see that the grant amount, the $1.32 million being given, but it would be also great to see actually the social benefits in terms of dollar terms. And also, I know it's very hard to measure, but it'd be great to see what it means, because I personally think that, yes, it is a big figure, $1.32 million, but the social benefits that we generate without, you know, holding me to the words to it, but I will be saying it's 10 times the value that we provide to the community, if not more. So we'd love to see the social benefit value that we have delivered through this grant as well.
Thank you, Councillor. Any other councillors? We've got Councillor Oak.
I, of course, support this recommendation, and following on from fellow councillors, thank Angela and the team, and so many people are put in so much work to not only devise the program, but also then to process the applications. And so a huge amount of work, and I really enjoyed reading it and got excited about the rigour that we're spending, the rigour and the amount of time that we've put into making decisions about spending money. It's quite impressive, but more importantly, as others have mentioned, that the organisations and their ideas and their innovation that we're supporting is the crux of all of this, and it will be great for our city what they intend to achieve. Following on from Councillor Watts, I actually wanted to also acknowledge that not only do we provide so much guidance to make the application, but as item 7 in the report indicates, those that are not recommended for funding this time around are provided quite significant feedback on why, and that is very rare, I would suggest, for grant applicants. You get a yes or a no, and that's about it. But the amount of effort that we go into, not only for this program, but for all of our programs, is also a significant service that we provide, and hopefully leads or adds to Councillor Pinder's idea that we, to increase the diversity and new applicants in future because of that service.
Great. Any other speakers to the motion? I was just going to say I'm also a supporter, of course. I think the program is all about creating a stronger and more resilient community. It has wonderful elements, as you said, of partnership and innovation, but it also has that sense of locals helping locals. And really embedding that capacity building into our community, which I think has very much lots of long-term benefits as well. I remember at one of the community feedback sessions in Carlton when they were particularly talking about employment opportunities, and I note that one of the programs is the Carlton Neighbourhood Learning Centre and their Make It Work program, where local businesses and educators get to help new migrants into the community to find meaningful work. And it really feels like there's that lovely virtuous cycle by virtue of this program in terms of how we can really build resilience, strength and that capacity. So well done to the team and to the Councillor Pinder and Councillor Watts as leaders of the portfolio. And on that note, I'm going to put the motion to the vote. So all those in favour, please raise your hands. That is unanimous, so I declare that motion carried. Thank you, councillors and team, for all the hard work. That brings us to item 6.3, which is the Event Partnership Program and Triennial Sponsorship Program Review Recommendations. Councillors, would you like a presentation on this item? No, thank you very much. Well, I'm going to call on a councillor to move the motion. Councillor Louis, thank you. And a councillor to second the motion. Councillor Riley, thank you. Councillor Louis, would you like to speak to the motion?
Just briefly, Lord Mayor. Could I commend Louise on the short time she's been here on taking the initiative of initiating this review, and also Katrina for supporting it, because I think it certainly makes the application process less onerous, particularly for the smaller applications of 5,000 to 10,000 event applications, bringing in line with our triennial sponsorship program and the EPP program together to put a bankable amount of over $2.5 million to support over 60 events is certainly commendable, but particularly now that the smaller events can apply for multiple year applications as well, rather than to do it on an annual basis. So hopefully, once we've gone into the first lot of applications and seen how the process is taken up, whether we need to fine tune it a little bit. But I think the principle of the review has certainly to support our events partners, and certainly to encourage the smaller events to apply, and not only apply for annual applications, but apply for multiple year applications as well. And hopefully this makes it, as I said, certainly less onerous. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Louis. Councillor Riley.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Look, I agree with Councillor Louis. It's exactly what we were wanting, and we have achieved it. And merging the event partnership program with the triennial makes good common sense. Thank you to all involved.
Thank you, Councillor Riley. Councillor Oak?
If you're happy with it, then I'm happy with it, Councillor Riley. No, I think that, you know, the idea of merging them two together is obviously something that's important, and I endorse the recommendation, but I note that the assessment criteria is still to come back to us. And I guess I note that the objectives and the criteria are listed here, and in the application criteria and eligibility criteria, sustainability isn't mentioned at all. However, under the environmental sustainability component of the report to council, it does refer to all applicants are asked to demonstrate how they're achieving council sustainability objectives in their applications, and that all events must have a detailed environmental impact minimisation plan. But it just is interesting to me that that's not mentioned at all in the criteria or the objectives. So I guess when the assessment comes back, I will be interested to see how we actually refer to waste. We've just passed our waste strategy, of which we have a particular goal about minimising waste at council-owned and sponsored events. Our climate mitigation strategy talks about reducing our carbon footprint of events, and no doubt there'll be a discussion in our transport strategy about minimising the footprint of people attending events and encouraging events that we sponsor to offer or recommend that their attendees travel on PT or foot, etc. Not wanting to add an extra burden, Councillor Louis, but I think that it's important, as per the previous item, that if we're providing funding, that our fundees are contributing to our goals, and we really do want to be a sustainable city, and events are a key to that. So just a comment, but I'll wait for the assessment criteria to come back to us.
Thank you, Councillor Oak. Any other speakers to this motion? Councillor Watts, then Councillor Pinder.
Just to observe, really, that not only are we a livable city and a knowledge city and an events city, but on reading this motion, it seems that we are also a very accessible city. I note that the notion of having free events is referenced to that a number of times. And this is very important, I think, for our community to know that they can actually participate and enjoy without cost. And I think the city should be very proud of offering such a range of activities.
Thank you. Councillor Pinder.
Just to take Councillor Watts's word accessibility a little bit further, it'd be great to see and find out if accessibility as in inclusive Melbourne is considered in some of these applications, because events that we support ought to be accessible to all people of Melbourne.
Excellent. Thank you, councillors. Any other speakers to the motion? As the person saying that, I get to say I also support this. I do think it's fantastic that we've reviewed this system. I think there'll be a lot of organisations around Melbourne who like to interact with us and who like to put on events, taking a deep sigh of relief because they can see that our systems are being streamlined, both in terms of what's expected from the smaller organisations and community organisations, where it's often volunteers using the extra time in their day to put the applications together, that it's going to be a little bit more appropriate in terms of what the expectations are, that we're going to use technology in a way that should expedite and make things easier. I think for our team internally, hopefully that's also going to ease the burden a little bit, because it's enormous, the consideration of the program. Programs and them coming together into one program. And I think there's also going to be a really big yay around town from a lot of organisations as well when we see that multi-year funding can be applied across the tier levels in terms of support. And I think that's appropriate as well. And for all the other reasons that have been mentioned tonight, well done to the team for tackling something that's been that way for a long time, but it doesn't mean we can't review it and improve it. So thank you very much for taking that approach and for having us being easier to do business with. It's going to be very, very welcome. So on that basis, councillors, I'm putting the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. That is unanimous, so I declare that motion carried. Thank you, councillors. We move on to item 6.4, which is the funding support requests in April 2019. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item?
Lord Mayor, I just have a question.
Go ahead, Councillor Riley.
The sponsorship of the Globe Awards, can I be told what the breakdown of the award, of the amount of money that is going to be put forward?
Katrina, are you able to answer that query?
Jim, the table is split out in terms of how much that is. But we will be the major sponsor, which means we'll get a range of promotion rights, and it still really does depend on it being negotiated, but we'll get a range of rights and we can get that to you. It won't be finalised unless you support this. So it's not being finalised.
Hang on. Why are we supporting if it's not finalised?
So I think the breakdown is five out of the 7,000, 5,500 is to sponsorship, and yep. I think the details of how that will be applied across under a sponsorship arrangement will be finalised, and 1,500 will go towards a table, or is effectively the value of the table being provided under the sponsorship, and it's been allocated that way. That was my reading.
If you're questioning the value of it, I can probably get that now for you for that level of it. But it's not been finalised as yet, but I'll have a look at that right now.
Councillors, any other questions before we go? Councillor Pinder?
Can I just clarify on this matrix, Katrina?
Yeah.
It says amount of fee waiver or funding recommended.
So that's $7,000 total, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
It's not $9,300.
No.
No, okay.
Okay, councillors, I'm looking for a mover for this item, please. This motion, Councillor Oak, thank you. And a seconder for this, Councillor Francis Gilley, thank you. Councillor Oak as mover, would you like to speak to the motion?
Only that I understand that the support for the Globe Awards has been supported internally, and having just done the City of Melbourne's LGBTIQ training online and became an ally, and I have a poster stuck on my wall because it told me to print it out, and I just thought it was really, I don't know, I thought it was great to support the an organisation that is supporting our staff and friends and family of staff from this community, and the training online I thought really reflected that the City of Melbourne does have a positive culture for staff, and that it's got a really great module. And I guess I just note that because this these awards are a continuation of what we're trying to do to make sure that it is a safe space for people who are from LGBTI community, and making sure it's a safe space to work. And if they're wanting to support an award like this, then I think that we should. And so I support the recommendation.
Good. Councillor Oak, before we go to our seconder to speak, our director would like to make some further comments.
So this is what's been considered at the moment. So as a major sponsor, we'd have naming rights to the award of our choice, except for the LGBTI Person of the Year, branding exposure at pre-event and the event on all awards, collateral, category trophy, digital, print, advertising and marketing, inclusion in media relations and media interviews where possible, inclusion of major sponsor on the Globe website, major sponsor branding on the award ceremony media wall, exposure at all pre-awards activities, publicity and photo opportunities, and the 10 tickets. Again, it's not finalised, that's general.
Thank you. Thank you, Katrina. Would the seconder like to speak to the motion? Councillor Francis Gilley, are there any other speakers to the motion? None? Then we're going to put the motion... Oh, sorry, Councillor Liu.
I also wholeheartedly support the Globe Community Awards as well. I think given the fact that City of Melbourne took an active role in the same-sex marriage debate, it is one that I think we should continue on. I think the fact that we've... that long list of sponsorship that we're getting is a really good value for money. But it's not just for that, it's the fact that we are a very inclusive city. It's one that we should be taking a lead role on, and it's one that we should be supporting. So I wholeheartedly support this.
Oh, Deputy Lord Mayor.
Not sure what to make of that reaction, Lord Mayor. I absolutely happy to support this. I think given that long list, they might have gone a little bit cheap on their sponsorship request. But excellent, I think, to also get behind the awards, that to get behind our staff who are supporting the awards. So more than happy to see this sponsorship, and excellent value based on that extensive list of recognition as well.
Thank you, DLM. Any other Councillor Watts?
Just a brief comment on the other funding to the Victorian Manufacturing Hall of Fame. It's just a delight, isn't it, to see some reference to Victorian manufacturing and the way in which our city can support that group in relation to exceptional leadership and, here we go again, innovation. I'm happy that we're doing this.
Good. Well, again, I think this is a great a motion with worthy funding recipients if it is passed when we put it to the vote, which I'm going to do if there are no other speakers. No. So all those in favour, please raise your hand. And it's unanimous. So I declare that motion carried. And that concludes our reports from management to be considered this evening, which brings us to general business. And there is one item of general business for consideration this evening. It's item 7.1. It's the proposed attendance by Councillor Cathy Oak to ICLEI Global Executive Meetings in Bonn, Germany, and then the Echo City World Summit 2019 in Vancouver, Canada. Can I call on a councillor to move the motion? Deputy Lord Mayor, fast out of the blocks, thank you very much. And a councillor to the second was won by Councillor Rees. I'm going to call on the mover to speak to the motion, please.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. Yes, fast out of the blocks for good reason, because of the amount of value that we get when Councillor Oak travels. First president of ICLEI, and so that's at no cost to council, that travel through her role with ICLEI, but obviously does an excellent job for ICLEI, but that gives us fantastic representation globally. And ICLEI is a very significant network of local governments, a bit different to C40 and 100 resilient cities, in that ICLEI takes all comers, and so it's a very long-standing and important network as well. The 2019 EcoCity Summit, I'm really pleased that Councillor Oak will be there, because both her and I in 2017 stupidly put our hands up to help out with the 2017 EcoCity Summit, thinking we'd just be on an advisory committee, and then Councillor Oak in particular ended up doing an absolute power of work to bring that to fruition. So very supportive of both of these representations for us, because we will get excellent value from them.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. Councillor Rees, would you like to speak to the motion?
Thank you. I wholeheartedly endorse the remarks made by the Deputy Lord Mayor, and add to it by saying that the City of Melbourne is very, very lucky to have Councillor Cathy Oak in its ranks, someone who is a genuine world thought leader and policy innovator in the sustainability space. And wouldn't Australia be the luckier if we had people of her calibre and thinking on sustainability matters in their ranks? So go forth, Councillor Oak, and represent us well at these two summits.
Thank you, Councillor Rees. No pressure, Councillor Oak. Would anybody else like to speak to the motion?
The Eco World City Summit, I know that when Deputy Lord Mayor and I did spend hundreds of hours preparing for the City of Melbourne to be a host city for the last one, it was really important to have other cities come and attend and acknowledge, you know, the work that goes into it. So whilst I, you know, tried to get the Deputy Lord Mayor to attend and present and represent the City of Melbourne at this, I think it is important that I am there representing the City of Melbourne, supporting the City of Vancouver, and I'd like to acknowledge that they are actually paying for the vast bulk of my attendance at the event. But it is also a city that we look to as a rival in the EcoCity ranks. We're envious and we're competitors, and so I will work with officers to just find out what are the particular annual plan initiatives that we're working on that are most relevant for me to investigate while I'm there, because there is a lot that we're working on at the moment that Vancouver are either already leading on or can give us some lessons that they might have not done, that they would do differently. So I think it's actually a really important location for Melbourne to be visiting anyway.
Good, Councillor Oak, thank you. Are there any other speakers to this motion? No, then I'm going to put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. That's unanimous. So I declare the motion carried. That brings us to item 8, which is urgent business. Councillors, can you please let me know now if you have any items of urgent business to be considered this evening? None? Thank you very much. We just wanted to note that we've come to the end of an agenda in Council this evening, first time probably in a long time that we haven't had any confidential items. Everything's been open. We haven't had to ask the members of the public in our gallery to leave, which has been delightful and lovely to see you all here this evening. On that adieu, I say thank you to the members of the public for attending, to members of our management team, and of course to our councillors. Thank you very much, and we are closing the meeting at 6:14 p.m.